Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our epistle lesson from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Remember the days when you thought you were really cool? Yeah, remember those days, you know, the things that you wore, you thought, oh, look how sharp you were. And now you realize that those same things that you thought were cool back in the day, well, really aren't so now. In fact, if you look at pictures of some of those kinds of things that you used to wear, you're thinking about how ugly they were, and you thought, that was popular, right? Well, that's the way it is sometimes with us. We think that we have it all together there. But we also think that way many times when it comes to sin. We like to fool ourselves and say, sin is fun. Sin is cool. Sin is what makes me popular. Well, and then comes the truth. Like the days when I was back at the seminary, there were several of us who decided that, well, we're going to grow beards. You know, it hadn't been a while since I'd had one, and so I decided I was going to grow it back, and there's a friend of mine in class, so he decided he was going to grow his too. Trouble was, though, his beard didn't look so good, okay? It really didn't, all right? It was really thin, sparse, you know, didn't fill in at all. You know, it looked like he had mange or something like that. And so here we are. We're telling him, it's like, hey, man, you know, this is just really ugly. You need to shave this thing off. Well, he just thought we were giving him a bad time. So he continued to grow it and that kind of thing. And, well, it came time to do pictures. The seminary there, they had a yearbook, and so they had the guys who were students there and their spouses, they'd take pictures. And so it was then when he got what we called the mug book. Anyway, we got that back, and he flipped through there and saw his picture. That's when he realized how really bad his beard did look, that we were telling him the truth. You know, sometimes when you look at the commandments, they do the same thing. They're a mirror gauging our actions. The commandments point out our failings too. It's just like that picture there. We can see where we fail and where we don't look so good, where we look ridiculous in front of the Lord. And even we who have faith, well, we have days like that now and again. And it always hurts to get those pointed out, those sins pointed out to us. And because when they do, it really shows how bad we look from God's perspective. Points out all of our shortcomings. You see, the memory of those days, those times in which we sinned, well, that can really hurt. Because we start to think about, wow, I did that kind of thing. And those memories can be used as a weapon against you. Now, quite frankly, that's something the devil likes to do. He likes to remind you of your past. He likes to point out how ridiculous you were in sinning before the Lord. That you were one of those people. That you were like one of those people, and that you still are today thinking this lie. What, you think you can masquerade around like you're a good person? Don't you remember what you did? You see, we live in a world where that's the battle that's going on, where the devil likes to point out your past. But Jesus, on the other hand, knows that the battle is not about your past, but rather it's about your future. You see, we need to look at some examples here about what some folks were like in our Bibles. First of all, let's take a look at Peter. Now, Peter, he was a zealous disciple, all right? He would fight for Jesus, and yet he wanted to do that. And Jesus told him, it's like, hey, no. You're going to deny me three times. No, it's not going to happen, Peter's thinking. It's like, not going to do that. And then when the rooster crowed, sure enough, he realized that indeed he had denied Jesus three times. And then the devil's like, Peter, you fool. Look at you. Look at what you did. You saw all the miracles. You walked on the water, yet you denied Jesus three times. Really? You think God's going to forgive all that kind of stuff? Jesus came up to Peter after he rose from the grave. And he asked Peter, do you love me? Peter replied, yes, Lord, I do. Jesus asked him again. And again, he asked him three times, do you love me? And Peter's like, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know I feel all of that regret. And then what did Jesus say to him? Peter, feed my sheep. See, Jesus still had intentions for him in the future. But maybe you're not the kind of person that's going to go out there and outright deny Jesus, okay? Maybe we need to look at somebody else. Situation in which, well, you know, you never deny Jesus, but maybe you would run away from God, like Jonah. God told Jonah, it's like, hey, I got a task for you. I want you to go to Nineveh, all right? I want you to do that. And Jonah's thinking to himself, it's like, well, you know, if I don't show up, I don't have to do that. So he decided, it's like, well, I'm going to take a 3-hour cruise. And so he gets on that boat there. Well, lasted a little bit longer than that, did it not? Okay. Here he is thinking he's on that 3-hour cruise, but when you get tossed over the side there and get swallowed by a fish, that 3 hours turned into an eternity. 3 days he was in the belly of that fish. 3 days he had an opportunity to repent of that sin, asking for forgiveness. And what did the Lord do with that? Well, he had the fish burp him up there on the shore. And then Jonah went and fulfilled that task. God still had something for him to do in the future. Now, regret disobeying the Lord outright like that, maybe that's not you, but maybe we can look at Paul. Paul was killing Christians, saying, see how I love you, Lord, I'm killing the infidel. Trouble was, the infidel was the believer. You see, Paul had been deceived. And the devil blinds the minds of unbelievers there. But God can turn even the worst into his servant. The future can be changed. A person's future can be changed, and Paul's was, and he ended up becoming what? Perhaps the greatest evangelist ever. You see, these three had one thing in common. God chose them. God wanted them. God got them because God had something in mind for them that he wanted for them to serve him. It had not been accomplished yet, but God had a future for them. And you too have something in common with them. You too were chosen. So while we keep the baptismal font up here as a reminder, how when you were baptized, you were marked. Marked with the sign of the cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Because what happened in your baptism? There you were set aside. There your sins were forgiven. There you were given hope. God set you aside for work in his kingdom. But that baptismal font is also a reminder, too, that yes, you are a sinner. That your sins look ridiculous. Ever hear from a parent? It's like, I'm not going out there with you looking like that. Yeah, the Lord looks at us that way all the time, does he not? Yes, we thought we were cool, but sin is a sin, is a sin, no matter what kind of spin you put on it, whether you do or what the world says about that sin, it doesn't change. It's still a sin. Sinners are condemned. Sinners need to be redeemed. And Jesus did that very thing. He redeemed us. His death on the cross means forgiveness of sins. And his rising from the grave means that we have a new hope and a new place to live. Those promises were given to you and me in our baptisms. We are marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. You belong to Jesus, and you have a future. Paul says it this way in our second reading this morning. He says, for we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You see, when you were baptized, you were forgiven and you were given hope as well. And the Holy Spirit came upon you. And that Holy Spirit who came upon you has empowered you to accomplish many things. Here's what happened to the Thessalonians when they were added by faith to God's kingdom. He goes, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. See, the Thessalonians became imitators of Paul and those who were with him. That means that they shared the gospel. That means that they told others about Jesus, even in the midst of persecution, because they were telling others. People were going after them because they were believers and telling about Jesus. It didn't matter. They continued to share the love of God and that message about Jesus. Even though that they were suffering much affliction, they continued to share that love to their neighbor. You see, they took their faith and did not keep it to themselves. They showed the love of Jesus in what they did. They showed the love of Jesus in what they said. They did not hold back, but showed their faith in full conviction. And guess what? Others noticed. Not only in their own community, but they also noticed in the surrounding area. It's like other cities, other states around them heard about their love, heard about their faithfulness in the Lord with the faith that had been given to them. You see, you were chosen to do that very thing too. Now sure, the devil's going to remind you of all your regrets there, the things and times in which you didn't support Jesus. He's going to point out that you ran away from God, or that, hey, you're still a sinner. Remember what you did last weekend? That's what the devil's going to do. But you see, his whole goal there is to discourage you, to keep you away from that gift that God has given you. He's trying to make sure that you don't share the faith. But I'm here to tell you today, though, the battle, remember this, the battle is not over your past, but rather it's over your future. With God, the future looks great. So don't be discouraged. So let us move forward with full conviction, stepping out in faith, serving the Lord, telling others about Jesus, supporting the ministry that's going on here in this church, and what we would like to do as well. Because you see, God can do anything, and He has chosen you to see that that work gets accomplished. So don't let your stuff, don't let your past hold you back. The reality is this. Your past was left at the cross. You are without excuse because God chose you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.